Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Action International Ministries Uganda. A blessed Lord's Day morning to each one of you. I'm so glad that we can meet once again during this time that the Lord has given us in His good appointment for us today. May the Lord have His glory as we hear His word and as we worship Him in the preaching and teaching of His holy word. Today, my friends, by the Lord's grace and appointment, we are continuing in Ephesians chapter 1 in verses 13 and 14. And so please turn there if you have your Bibles available, and we'll soon read God's word together. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. The Lord has been very good to us, my friends, and it is right that we return thanksgiving and praise to Him now. He has brought good to each one of us. He has blessed us in His goodness, in His mercy, in His love and salvation. And so, let us now thank our God for these manifold mercies that we have experienced and enjoyed, all from His hand of grace. Our Father, we do thank You. How good You've been to us. How faithful You are, Lord. How righteous and holy. How patient You have been with us. God, You have suffered long and borne with us and loved us and trained us and chastened us and taught us the good way that pleases You. The way of salvation and blessing and eternal life. And so, Lord, because of Your kindness, Your care, Your love and mercy, because of Your grace and compassion, because Your heart is for us, because You have always loved us, and because You love us now, Lord, and because You are eager to pour out blessings and grace and good and truth and light upon us, we thank You. And we anticipate this morning once again that Your word will be a light that enters into our hearts, and that, Lord, You will speak to us, and that You will change us through the glorious gospel, the powerful living word of God that we are about to receive in Your kindness. And Father, we pray that for Your glory You will achieve Your purposes as You teach us and mature us, and as You save us from our sins. How wonderful You are to us, Lord. How gracious and kind You are. How faithful and just You are. How powerful You are, Lord. We take joy this morning, too, in remembering that You are the God who judges sin, and that all of Your ways are right and good and holy. We just thank You. And we just praise You, the living and faithful, merciful God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, from the New King James Version, God's holy word, we read in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 13, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." Amen. Wonderful verses, my friends. And we see here so clearly that, as we discovered last week, that our faith, our trust in God, our belief in God and His gospel has led us to be the recipients of this wonderful grace of God. Trust and faith and belief in Christ, in God, in His reality, that He is a discerner of those who diligently seek Him, He understands us, and that He rewards us whose hearts are set on Him and who seek after Him to know Him and please Him. For those who trust in God, for those whose heart is set committed, whose spiritual well-being is one with Christ's by faith. For those who are especially blessed by God in this saving faith, my friends, those who receive the word of truth, comes the glorious salvation and this great gift of God, a sealing with the Holy Spirit of promise. A sealing of the Holy Spirit of promise. And so we want to continue this morning to consider that we who have believed and who have trusted in Christ have also, as we see in verse 13, been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Here, he is designated as the Holy Spirit of promise. This alludes to the truth that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was promised to Israel and promised also to the Gentiles. That is a promise that's found in the Old Testament. God's promise was that he, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, would come to Israel and also to the Gentiles, that the Spirit of promise would come to the people of God, to those who truly believed in God. And this is a marvelous promise which has been fulfilled in the coming of the Holy Spirit, as the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in the New Testament that he would send the Holy Spirit to us, the promised Holy Spirit. And this promise is also fulfilled in that God the Father has promised to fill his people with the Spirit, to send the Spirit upon those who truly believe in God. This promise is also being fulfilled in our time. We who are believers are blessed too with the sealing of the Holy Spirit of promise, and will be fulfilled in future generations if the Lord tarries. All who truly believe will be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This word sealing is a word that simply means to authenticate or confirm. And the idea here really is that just as in ancient times that an agreement or a document was sealed with a wax seal, or it was authenticated or confirmed to be true and agreed upon, so it is that we individuals who believe in Christ are in this way sealed with God's Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the Spirit who has made us alive in Christ, who has brought us to believe and repent so that we trust and have faith in Christ and his gospel, is the very Spirit who seals us. To have him in his capacity as God, the Spirit who indwells by virtue of the fact that he first regenerated us, is to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. His presence in us, in the indwelling, and his work of grace upon us, his unction or his anointing, John refers to this as the anointing of Christ, that is the presence of the Holy Spirit, his blessing that is with us or upon us, much like oil would be placed upon one's skin and would be a refreshing anointing. This blessed presence of the Holy Spirit that God had long ago promised to the people of God has come to us. And so we are confirmed and authenticated by the Holy Spirit and by God to be true believers when we receive and are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Just as it is that melted wax would be impressed with a signet or with a seal, a metal seal of some type, and so the impression left in the wax by this pressing of the metal signet into the wet wax. So it is that the Spirit has, in a sense, marked us, sealed us, as though He, with a signet, had marked us as God's very own people. The seal of God, the confirmation, the witness of God, the attestation of God that we are His true people is ours through the coming of the blessed and promised Holy Spirit to us. Amen. And we find there in verse 14 that the Holy Spirit, who thus seals us and confirms that we are true believers, is also our earnest payment, or the guarantee of our inheritance. The idea here is that those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit also have come to receive the grace of God in such a way that He is the down payment for our future full salvation or glorification. It's though as God has given us a bit of the glory of heaven in advance in the giving of the Holy Spirit, who is our guarantee of our inheritance here. And it's almost like this. It's almost as though if you were to purchase an item at a large store, that you would go in advance of your receiving the item, and you would put a down payment or a partial payment on the total cost of that item. In doing that, you would secure the item, though you don't yet possess it. It's still possessed by the store. It's held for you, though you have paid the down payment or the partial payment to secure the item. The down payment, if you will. In the West, where I'm from, many times we will give a down payment or a partial beginning payment on the purchase of a motor car. And when the down payment or the earnest payment, if you will, that's another word that's used to describe this giving of a partial or down payment, then you get the use of the car and you get the full ownership of the car when the rest of the note or the loan is paid off in full. Well, wonderfully, God speaks to us by the Spirit to explain to us and to teach us that the giving of the Holy Spirit of promise, this sealing of the Holy Spirit, His regenerating us and being with us, His anointing us, His filling us, His blessed presence with the saints of God, is a guarantee of our inheritance, or a partial payment of the glorious inheritance that we shall receive when we go to be with God. As though He gave us a foretaste of glory, as though He's given us just a small bit of the glory that awaits us so that we enjoy this now. Notice in verse 14, that the sealing by the Holy Spirit of promise, this guarantee of our inheritance, is ours until the redemption of the purchased possession. This is speaking of the truth that we have the Holy Spirit now. Eternal life has begun in us. We are the regeneration of God. We are made alive. But until we are finally redeemed, soul and body, at the last day, when we are perfectly glorified in all of our being, soul and body, so it is that He is with us until God fully redeems or buys us from death, if you will, until we are fully redeemed. And we are raised up incorruptible to be with God forever. The Spirit is with us. The Spirit is the foretaste of future blessings. He is also the bringer of current blessing. And so wonderfully for us who are saved, We enjoy the Holy Spirit and all spiritual blessings that He brings to us in Christ now. This is just a bit of a foretaste, a partial taste of the future of glory and eternal life that awaits us, but we enjoy Him now. And because we have this bit of glory brought to us in time, we take heart and we rejoice in God, because the Holy Spirit authenticates that we are the children of God. Our faith is strengthened and we look forward to our final blessing, this redemption of the purchased possession in full, when we are glorified in all of our being and God's work of saving us from our sins is completed. When we are then glorified, body and soul, and we are with God and enjoy His blessing forever, my friends, then we will forever be with the Lord and we will perfectly praise His glory, though we do praise Him for this glorious grace that has come to us now and in the many benefits that we enjoy in our salvation now. Praise God. And so, my friends, let's look at verses in the Old Testament that speak about this promised coming of the Holy Spirit. This promised coming of the Holy Spirit. It is a promise that God made quite often in many, many texts in the Old Testament. And we want to turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, and we want to read verse 36 this morning. This is one of the texts in which we find this glorious promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon God's people. And we find there that the Bible says this. That's Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And let's also read verse 27. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And so, the promise that God's Spirit would come and be in the people of God, that they would receive a new heart, a new spirit, that is, that the Holy Spirit would come with new spiritual life and blessings to the people of God, and that God would bring them His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here called my Spirit, or the Spirit of God, and that when this Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is with those who believe, who have received a new heart, that they indeed would obey God. They would walk with God and keep God's judgments and do that which pleases God. And so the Holy Spirit is promised here. Wonderfully, we see the initial fulfillment of that promise in the giving of the Spirit at Pentecost. We find that in the book of Acts. But let's also take a look at some other Old Testament references to the giving of the Spirit. We find in the book of Joel in chapter 2, in verse 28, another promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. It says there, Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And there in verse 29 also, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And so we see the obvious wording here to indicate that the Spirit was not yet given in this time, but there was a future time coming at the time of the writing of Joel's prophecy in which God's Spirit would come on all people, not just upon those of Israel or Judah, upon the Jews, but upon the Gentiles, all peoples also. And he would come in a wide way, if you will. He would come in a bigger sphere of activity than he did in the Old Covenant times. He would come so that all peoples would experience this pouring out or this giving of the Spirit. We see there that the Holy Spirit is likened to water that's poured out from a pitcher, and he comes in a very full way, just as it is that water pours freely and effusively from a pitcher. He would come in a great effusiveness and this great outpouring of God, not just upon a few people or upon one nation, but upon all peoples. And we see in the book of Acts that this coming of the Holy Ghost in this way, this giving of the promise of the Holy Spirit to people, all peoples, is spoken of in the book of Acts. And so let's also turn to the book of Acts together. The book of Acts. And we want to first look in chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We see here in verses 4 and 5, truth about the coming of the Spirit of promise. In Acts chapter 1, we see that the book opens with the account of the things of Jesus, of his resurrection and of his ascension. And we find here in verse 4 that the word says, "And being assembled together with them, he," that's Jesus, "who is resurrected and who will ascend or rise up into the heavens, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" That's also verse 5. And so we see here that Jesus, after the resurrection, promises the believers that the Holy Spirit, this long-awaited Spirit of promise from the Father, would come upon them in a powerful way. And so it is that he would come so fully that they would be baptized with the Spirit. John the Baptist, he says, baptized or immersed the people in water. But the Spirit of promise is coming, and he will baptize them in a spiritual way. He is going to come over them, pour out on them, if you will, fill them, enter into them, immerse them, be upon them, and empower them, and begin a new work in them. That's the promise of the Spirit. And he will come fully not just to the apostles, but he will come fully upon the church. And the promise of his coming here is described to us as the promise of the Father, given in the Old Covenant to the people of God at that time. And so, as we look at the book of Acts, we see in the account of the preaching of Peter at Pentecost, we see in the manifesting work of the Holy Spirit in preaching Christ, in revealing the reality of the crucified, risen Christ to people. When we see that the people have been touched by the very Spirit of God, that he is upon them and with them in a new and powerful way, that this sealing of the Holy Spirit has occurred. They have been authenticated. They have been confirmed to be true Christians, and he has come powerfully to work in their midst and to birth or create the Christian church. He has come in awesome power, He saves over 3,000 at Pentecost in Peter's preaching. Peter and other apostles are empowered by God and work many miracles, wondrous works. This coming of the Spirit is seen and heard. He comes like a rushing mighty wind. He appears as divided tongues of fire on the apostles in this seen way. His power is felt in that he brings repentance and deep conviction of sin upon those who heard Peter's preaching, particularly when Peter points out to them, preaches to them about their guilt in crucifying Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, who is the Savior of the world, that they were guilty of his murder, and that if they would repent of this awful sin and of all of their sins and cry out to God for mercy and trust in Christ, who is the promised Messiah of God, the Savior of the world, that they would be saved from their sins. And we see the Holy Spirit's work in bringing these men to conviction of sin and repentance and faith and salvation. And so, wonderfully, the coming of the Spirit, which is spoken of there in Joel, and which is also spoken of in Acts chapter 2, when it is that the apostles declare that this work of God's coming is the promise that the Father God made in Joel, that this is fulfilled in the wonderful work of God that's talked about there in Pentecost. We see God's powerful coming. The Spirit of promise comes. And so we rejoice in this great work of God. He was promised, and he has come in a powerful new way for new covenant believers. And he comes powerfully to us too, my friends. The promise of the Father comes and changes us, and we indeed are changed. Well, my friends, our time has gone so quickly this morning, but I pray that this precious truth will wash over your soul and encourage you today. Rejoice in God. Give glory to the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you, who empowers you, who leads you in the worship of Christ, and enjoy his blessings. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for your wonderful promise that you would give your Spirit to the peoples of the nations, and that he has come and sealed us. We who truly believe, his witness is a wonderful blessing to us. Lord, we are authenticated and confirmed to be your people, true believers in Christ, and we rejoice in the witness of the Holy Ghost that we are your people. And Lord, we rejoice too that he is our down payment, if you will, the foretaste of glory, that we have him now, and he teaches us about the glory that awaits us, and that we are waiting patiently for the glorification of our bodies and spirits. Lord, you're so wonderful to us, and we thank you. Have your praise, have your glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord of glory bless you in Jesus Christ the Lord.